All right, Sunday morning, 7:14:24, the Prophet's Corner Uncut, and this is the subject matter of what I'll be teaching on today, called Accessing the Grace. I think you're going to see grace a little differently today after I get done. If you're living day to day and just waiting for me to just take things off you, you're missing the point. Did you hear that? The point is not the thing that you're dealing with, but the point is you are being taught how to access my grace. Many talk about the prayers of Paul and they say he was just someone special or he was an apostle. In other words, he was, what do they say? I don't know the word. An exception to the rule. Oh, that was Paul. Everybody, he's up there, you know, in Jesus class. Well, so are you. But all my children are supposed to learn to access my grace. Most walk so much in the flesh that they do not even get the opportunity to teach, for me to teach them this. For you see, it takes some maturity to get to this place, and most of my body are still babies. Walking under grace does not mean you're free from the thing. You know the thing? But that my power and ability come along to help you. Death could not take hold of Paul after the snake bite because of his learning to access my grace. Father raised me from the dead because of the grace. You have grieved and grieved over your situations, but I would have you rise up and turn your mourning into dancing. For this is what happens when you learn to tap into my grace. I said to Paul that my grace was sufficient, and it wasn't just for Paul, but for you all. All right, we're going to look at Paul's story right quick. 12:7. At the first, Paul was acting just like us. Lord, get it off of me, get it off of me, get it off of me. When is this going to go away? I can't stand it. Oh. Sound familiar? Right here, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Lord, please, get this off of me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What you know the thing. What is the thing doing? It's made you weak. That's one of Biden's saying, you know the thing. Anyway, it's for those who follow whatever. Okay, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And this is what he said. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You cannot have his grace in your strength. Think about that one. Let it sink in. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He got it. The infirmities. When he had the infirmities, he was weak, but God was strong. When he was strong, God was weak. The grace was weak. They can't operate together. Now, I hope through this today, you'll have an understanding of this and quit thinking any minute that God's just going to take everything off of you. Well, he may take some things. He may allow some things to go. But I tell you, when you have a walk where you have some revelation, it isn't just Paul. I wish he was the exception to the rule, but it's not so. So when you're in your weakness, that's when you're calling out to God and you're seeking God and you're asking God to help you, right? When everything's going okay, we kind of forget about it, don't we? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I don't know that I'm quite there yet. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, the grace kicks in, and you know God did that because I couldn't even hardly drag myself in there to do that. You sure he wants you to take it all off of you? Or is this the new norm? It does get better because you get tempered in the fire to where you can stand the heat and stay in the kitchen. For those like John Mark, he couldn't stand the heat in the kitchen like we talked about Wednesday night. So he went home to Mama. We've all been there. But God's teaching us to stay steady in the fire. That's what this is about. What do you think persecution is? What do you think right here? I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What steams my beans about the church is this, is their rapture mentality, escape, escape. They don't know how to blow fuzz off a peanut. They don't know how to pray for somebody. They don't know about warfare. They're just all babies just sucking the bottle. If you don't do what they want, they throw a fit just like the two-year-olds in the nursery. That's a church. That's a church that I know. That's a church that I went to for years that God pulled me out of. Thank God. But that's the truth. Always looking for a bailout, whatever it is. Oh, it's just too hard. It's just too hard. It's just too hard. Really? The scripture says the way the transgressor is hard. I tell you where Rita Wilson is and Tom Hanks are burning in hell today, probably more than likely. I hope they give them last rites. I hope that they, I know they do at the tribunals, that they give them a chance to get a pastor or whatever to talk to them before they hang them or whatever they do. I hope they had a chance. I hope they changed their mind, but if they didn't, the way the transgressors are, this momentary light affliction that we are going through right now is exactly that, momentary. But eternity, that's a different story. Oh, Lord, help us today. Help us to see this. I didn't like it. When the Lord revealed this to me, I said, I don't like it. I was counting on it all going away. He couldn't have the grace unless he had, you know, the thing. I'll explain it to you later anyway. Paul got it, and so will you. No matter the circumstances you find yourself in, grace will help you to be content. You acclimate like a deep sea diver. You go and you are tempered in that area, and what used to just bring you out and it was so grievous to you, now you're going, that's nothing compared to this. Have you found that? The things that were just so grievous, you thought you couldn't make it another minute, much less another day. Now are like, snake. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. He can't let your flesh get in the way, do you understand? He's not going to share his glory with somebody's flesh. He ain't going to do it. If you want his glory working in your life, then it's a two-edged sword. All right, Philippians 4. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me see. That's the last. Paul learned to be content. Whatever he found himself in. And we all know about all the things he went through. It's hardly even imaginable. Things he went through. Content means self-sufficient, adequate, needing no assistance. You're stable as a rock, and all hell's breaking forth on your life, and you just walk and nobody can tell there's anything going on with you. Most of the church, they let their feelings hang out and they're bawling and squalling. Like I said, it's like nursery. I remember a certain pastor's wife, when we first had a house church, she said, "It's like nursery, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah. Bunch of babies. Whiny, petty, hitting somebody in the head and grabbing the toy away from them. I'm just telling you." Being consistent, being even. You know what? What you're going through is not your gauge of how you are. It's not based on how or what you feel. Faith is not walking by your feelings. It's not walking about how you feel that day. It's not by staying home because you just don't feel like dealing with this or feel like dealing with that, or you don't want to get out there and do anything because you don't feel right, you don't feel good. Don't you get what I'm saying? It's about getting up, no matter what, sucking it up and saying, "Okay, Lord, what business do you have for me to take care of today?" And doing it with a good attitude, not slinking around like some old bag of bones. I know what I'm talking about, because I slunk around like a bag of bones. I'm not just aiming it at you. I'm aiming it at myself. I said, "Lord." I told Danny yesterday, I said, "I wonder if the Lord's even going to let me do the nursery now. Because I missed the point." We all missed the point. We are so used to the bailout. People right now, all they care about is getting their money from Nasir, just bailing out. They don't care about making this world a better place as long as I'm taking care of me and mine. Who cares about anybody else? And that's the church. I've heard the church talk the worst that I have people that don't know anything about it. "Well, I want them all executed." Do they know what they're saying? They're going to hell forever. Do you really want to pronounce that judgment? Doesn't judgment belong to God and God only? I want them to all turn around and say, "No, we want Jesus." Amen. Every single one of them. Amen. We don't know what spirit we're of, but we want the power. We ain't going to get no power with that attitude. I don't want to associate with that bunch, I'll tell you what. I don't want anything to do with that bunch. Aren't we about love? All right. My thoughts here. From this I observed in all the years of knowing other Christians, most spent their time on solving their problems, running here and there trying to take care of themselves. It's all about them. They don't know what's going on in the world. And they don't care. All they care about is what's going on with them. Lord bless my four and no more. That's the truth. The Lord says, "I have had you training for reigning. I've been teaching you to access your grace, rise and run your race, and do what I need you to do for my plan at this time. This is what all of this has been about, to ready you to be about my business. There are not many mighty called." Many never get this, y'all. You know what a privilege it is that God has revealed this to us? All right, we're going to read another scripture. 1 Corinthians 1. I always knew that regular church, I just couldn't do it. It was just something was missing. Never felt fulfilled, never felt anything good going to church. I couldn't wait till it was over most of the time. Just going as a religious duty because they told you you had to, you needed to. Well, you don't need to unless they're teaching the truth. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Yeah, that bunch over there, they're just two of them or three of them. They ain't nothing going on over there. Don't go over there. They don't know what they're doing. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. What are we talking about? It's our weakness that causes the grace to kick in, the grace of God in our lives. If you're going to be mighty in yourself, then you're not going to have the grace of God. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Everything that's flesh is going to burn up. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It's not about I. It's about him. Second Corinthians 4. The mighty are mighty through him. Not talking about mighty. That's why not many mighty in the flesh are called. He'll make you mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Through God. Through God shall we do valiantly. It is he who would tread down our enemies. Everything we've got, we call on him. We're not doing anything in our flesh. Recently, I had an experience where I looked at the, I was looking at the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do here. And I'm not doing anything until you tell me what to do. And he showed me what to do. All right. Chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's by the grace. It's not of us. God's grace. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Did y'all get that? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. I can't tell you how many people have come into this area over the years that we have known, that they come a while, and when it doesn't work out the way they think, they hayocked it out of here. What was the problem? Well, they hadn't gone through the process, I can tell you that. They thought, well, God put this in me, and I guess I miss God. No, you didn't miss God. You missed the training. You missed the training. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Is that true? Your flesh is being put more under, and the spirit in you, where Christ is more keen and operating in a higher capacity. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yeah, I tell you what God's doing to us puts what we're going through is just a shadow compared to the glory. That's how Paul looked at it. I believe that we will do better if we will look at it that way instead of just bemoaning our circumstances every day, and everything we do is reflected on how we feel that day and what we're going through. As you learn to access the grace, things will fall off of you because it can't stick anymore. Paul shook off the viper and suffered no harm. How come? He had learned to access the grace. Grace is not accessed because you don't have any weaknesses to contend with. Grace is accessed when you rise even amidst it and go forward, refusing to let Satan's obstacles stop you. Where had Paul been? 2 weeks in a hurricane? Thought he wasn't going to make it? Hungry? Cold? Wet? But an angel stood by him and said, take heart. You're going to stand before Caesar. And everyone on the crew will be saved. They remain in the boat. Then he gets on the island, trying to fix a fire to help him to kind of get warmed up. And here comes that viper out of the heat. Attaches on his hand. He just goes. God's glory showed up in that island. And now everybody got saved and healed. On that island, that needed to be. Do we want God's glory? Do we want our pity parties? Do we not want to wallow in the hard things we've had to go through? Or do we want to say, that's nothing, I count it all dung for the glory? Everyone has a choice. But see, this is the thing. I don't think everyone or most anyone has gotten the point. Yesterday I was just amazed. Lord, who knew? I'm sorry. Help me to have a better attitude about this. All right, that's it.